Data Center Demand Challenges Dominate Empower 26 Presentations, written by John Lamson and read by an automated voice. The challenges of meeting accelerating load growth pervaded discussions at Empower 26, YES Energy's annual summit, where speakers discussed the changing federal regulatory paradigm, long-term market trends, demand flexibility, and how to responsibly interconnect hyperscale data centers. Data center development is the largest driver of forecast load growth across much of the country, though electrification and manufacturing growth also contribute to the rising demand, multiple speakers noted. More than 400 industry professionals attended the conference February 25 to 27 in Boulder, Colorado. Building adequate supply to meet this demand is one of the big challenges that we face, said Jesse Jenkins, Associate Professor of Energy Systems Engineering and Policy at Princeton University. In his keynote address, he cited Grid Strategy's forecast for 5.7% annual growth in U.S. power demand over the next 5 years. Significant uncertainty remains regarding which sources of supply will arise to meet this demand and whether these sources will align with decarbonization efforts. To date, much of the focus from data center developers has centered around fossil resources, with 49 gigawatts of gas-fired generation added to interconnection queues across the country in 2025, Jenkins said. With gas turbine supply chains constrained, developers have turned to dirtier, less efficient gas-fired technologies, including converted jet engines. Coal also saw a resurgence in 2025, in part because of load growth from data centers. Gas will continue to play an important role in meeting incremental demand growth, said Eric Brooks, manager of America's gas pricing at S&P Global Energy. He said he expects new gas demand from new LNG exports and data centers to cause slightly more elevated gas prices over the next 5 years. Dan Spangler, Senior Director of Analytics at Natural Gas Intelligence, said the trajectory of data center development could have a significant impact on the need for gas generation in the longer term. If we get a lot of demand coming on and renewables and batteries can't meet it, then gas is a natural place to step in to meet that, he said. But similarly, if data centers turn out to be a bust and demand is way lower than what people are expecting, then I would expect renewables and batteries to potentially significantly eat into gas share, possibly sooner rather than later. Beyond the direct climate and health impacts, reliance on polluting resources to meet load growth could undermine data centers' social license, Jenkins said. Growing public opposition is becoming a key impediment to development, he noted, citing an analysis that found 25 U.S. data centers totaling at least 4.7 gigawatts were canceled in 2025 following local opposition. To avoid negative effects on other customers and the environment, developers should procure new clean electricity to match their load, he said. But while renewables and energy storage make up the bulk of new capacity coming online, elimination of the federal tax credits has created uncertainty for the renewable projects unable to access the expiring incentives. The Trump administration's assault on domestic offshore wind also has created major long-term questions about the future of this industry in the U.S. Judd Rogers, Vice President of New Project Development at Scout Clean Energy, said rising demand coupled with the shift in federal energy policy has created a complex mix of headwinds and tailwinds for clean energy developers. While the demand for our product is incredible, he said, the current administration is calling out our industry as being stupid or dumb or causing cancer. It's obviously incredibly challenging, and the roadblocks that they've been able to put up have been incredibly challenging to navigate. Demand flexibility. Several presenters stressed the importance of demand response and flexibility for limiting infrastructure costs and peaking needs. While data centers tend to have flat load profiles, Jenkins expressed optimism about technological advancements enabling demand flexibility within the facilities. He highlighted a study recently published in Nature Energy which found the potential for 25% demand flexibility for an AI data center in Arizona using software that enables the designation of computing tasks by priority. Coupled with on-site battery storage, this represents a truly scalable solution to minimize the need for major transmission upgrades, he said. Former FERC Chair John Wellinghoff, now the Chief Regulatory Officer at Voltus, said demand response participating in the wholesale markets can play an important role in meeting near-term supply challenges. You need load flexibility if you are going to get these data centers in place quickly, he said. He expressed concern that demand response will not be included in the PJM reliability backstop procurement process proposed by the Trump administration and state governors. PJM's initial proposal for the backstop auction would not allow load management to participate, but Wellinghoff said it is not clear that the governors and the White House intended to exclude demand response resources. From a regulatory standpoint, Firkin orders 719 and 745 clearly said that demand response and load flexibility should be comparable to generation and should be included in the auctions, he said. Referencing a recently announced deal between the U.S. and Japan over a 9.2 gigawatts gas facility in Ohio, he said the auction should not prioritize foreign-owned generation plants over demand response capabilities that can be provided by American businesses. Transmission expansion. Speakers also emphasize the role of transmission expansion in meeting supply needs. We're trying to figure out how we're going to serve all of this load we're seeing, said Gordon Drake, Director of Market Design and Analysis at ERCOT. One way we can do that is we can approve a bunch of transmission projects that will make it to where the effective load carrying capacity of all this generation is high. We can do that now with generation that's already in the ground rather than waiting and hoping that a new combined cycle gets built in that load pocket. ERCOT is betting big on transmission expansion, pursuing the development of a series of 765 kilovolt lines throughout the state to help meet demand growth. Its strategic transmission expansion plan includes 2,468 miles of new 765 kilovolt lines and has a total estimated cost of about $33 billion. Jack Farley, Chief Commercial Officer at Grid United, laid out an even broader vision for expanded interregional transmission connectivity across regions throughout the U.S. He highlighted the potential economic benefits of the company's Three Corners Connector transmission project to connect Pueblo, Colorado, and the SPP system in Oklahoma. The line should be in service by late 2030, he said. Without transmission connection, Colorado tends to be sitting on 30% of its reserves when SPP needs it most, he said. When SPP is in its top 3% of net load hours over the last 5 years, there are about 3 to 4 gigawatts of stranded reserve capacity in Colorado. When connected, this creates capacity, and this can be accredited just like wind and solar with the standard models, he said. Projects like the Three Corners Connector are gigawatt-plus capacity additions that are ideal for data centers and large flat loads because it's cheaper than natural gas turbines, he said. RTO Insider is a wholly owned subsidiary of YES Energy,